This show is a legal advertisement, and it is intended to provide general information only. It is not intended to provide specific legal advice, nor does it create an attorney-client relationship. You should not rely on general legal information instead of specific legal advice regarding your specific circumstances. Follow-up contact does not create an attorney-client relationship and does not constitute legal advice.
Time now for the Bell and Pollock Legal Show, heard weekly on stations all over Colorado. Gary Bell and Brad Pollock are Colorado injury attorneys, but for the next hour, they'll answer questions and provide advice on any legal matter, including wills, real estate, bankruptcy, contracts, and more. Call in now, 303-713-8255. That's 303-713-8255. And now, here are your hosts, live in the studio, Gary Bell and Brad Pollock.
Good morning, Colorado. Here we go. Y'all ready for this? The Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock. We're here for you. 303-713-8255. This is a legal show, not a political show. How refreshing is that? We cover law. We talk law. We've been talking law for over 25 years to you. We've helped thousands of people with regard to their legal questions, legal situations, and we can help you. 303-713-8255. Our website, championsofthepeople.com. That's championsofthepeople.com. And I'll tell you what, we've redesigned and reconstructed our website. It was user-friendly, but it's more user-friendly now than it ever has been before. You have various ways to contact us. You have various ways to communicate with us. You have various ways to ask us questions or to set up an appointment or whatever you need to do. And if you need a free initial consultation, I'm telling you, we give you one, and we give you a significant, meaningful legal game plan. A significant, meaningful legal game plan. We don't just brush through. We don't just hurry through. I mean, some law firms, I think, limit the time that they want to speak to a new client to 3 minutes, 4 minutes, and we don't do that. If you've got an issue or a problem, it's your issue. There's a reason you're calling a law firm. You're the reason you're calling our law firm, and we appreciate it. And we will spend the time necessary to help you with your problem. And see if we can get you on the right track. Sometimes we tell people you don't need an attorney. Sometimes we tell them this is what you need to do. And we'll kind of guide you to begin with, and then you can go off and do it on your own. And are you good with that? I mean, if you want to hire us, if you want to hire attorneys, we'll be glad to do it. But sometimes we say it's in the best interest of people that you don't have an attorney for this particular situation. Sometimes it becomes too messy for you. Example, you got a minimum property damage situation. Nobody was injured in a vehicle crash, and maybe $200 of damage, and they're not going to pay. It's not worth it because you're going to spend more money on attorneys than you are to solve the problem. We will talk to you, of course. We do that. That's what we do. We'll guide you, of course. That's what we do. And then we're going to give you, here's what you should do. Here's what the next step ought to be, and here's how you approach it. But in that case, you don't need an attorney. Many times, you do. Very serious accidents, serious injuries, maybe hospitalization, and you don't even have to go to the hospital to hire an attorney. These insurance companies, we've taught you before, know what they're doing. And Brad, we've talked about this in our law firm, and before we get to today's subject, I want to cover briefly a little bit about And we try to concentrate in our firm not to let this happen, but a certain attorneys say, well, you know, I'll tell you what your case is worth, or I'll tell you, let me give me a call, and I can give you this and this and this and this. You have to get into a case. You have to understand a case. You have to know a case before you can exactly analyze it, evaluate it, and let the client know what they're looking at.
Well, that's right. And, you know, I think anybody who listens to me very much on this station or when I'm talking about things understands my position on this kind of stuff is that, first of all, in the personal injury realm. I'm not talking about contract law, and I'm not talking about other kind of law, but I'm talking about personal injury realm. The idea when it's put up as a hype or some kind of great action that the attorney is taking by giving you a free initial consultation is just shouldn't be there. If you're doing personal injury cases as an attorney, you give initial consultations free. As a matter of fact, the statement that we don't get paid unless you get paid is a statement that's common to every personal injury lawyer. And it's like I've said, when attorneys are advertising and trying to make a big deal out of, we're going to give you a free consultation, and the initial consultation is free. Okay, if they're doing that because the public needs to know that you can come see an attorney for personal injury cases and you don't have to pay for your consultation, then that's great. But if they're doing that as a sales point as to why their firm should be preferred among all other firms, that's not great, because that is the common practice. If you have an attorney who is charging you for consultation, for the initial consultation on a personal injury case, you shouldn't use that attorney. That's just not the way the practice works. The practice works, the general practice of personal injury law, which, Gary, you and I have been doing for 30 years. And the bottom line is that it's always been a free initial consultation. It's always been free consultations. We get paid by collecting a percentage or by collecting our share of the recovery, and that's how we get paid. So, and the idea that we don't get paid unless you get paid is also true. You don't. Attorneys in the personal injury law don't charge for their services. They get a percentage of the recovery, and that's normal. That's the basis. That's the way it works. And so, you know, if it's important for the public to know that they can get legal help on a basis where they're not having to bring their checkbook with them, but also understand the attorney is looking to determine if the case has some value. Now, the idea that the attorney can tell you what your case is worth on the initial consultation probably is not realistic. An attorney can give you a range, give you an idea, discuss with you the factors, can discuss with you what is involved in recovery, can discuss with you what makes a case worth more or what makes a case worth less, what the events are. An attorney can discuss with you what might be the case if the party causing the crash has insurance and how much insurance that party has or how much insurance you have. If you're the if you've got uninsured or underinsured motorist coverage, the attorney can talk to you about all that. And that's what we do. And we talk to you about a legal game plan because we discuss with you how your case is going to go and what you need to do and how you need to, you know, one of the things, how you need to seek medical care. Do you have doctors? Do you have medical professionals who are helping you get over your injury, helping you recover, helping you get back into the way of life, helping you get back into your work, helping you get back into your social events and into your extracurricular activities? Do you have somebody who's helping you get a better as fast as possible so that you can minimize or mitigate your damages? Those are all things that need to be discussed, and they all have a factor in what a case is worth. And that's why we always talk to you about a legal game plan.
Yeah, we have a legal game plan. We wrote a book called Legal Game Plan. We trademark protected the entire idea because it is so critical. It is so important for you if you've been injured in a crash or injured in any trauma. You know, our car accidents 101, we've said many times it applies to many different types of trauma, not just car accidents, even though we call it car accidents 101. Okay, here's a little question for you before the break. You're an injury lawyer. Somebody comes into your office and says, well, I was injured in this crash, and it was an intersection crash, and it was a T-bone crash, and both cars were totaled, and I'm really kind of hurting. I went to the emergency room 3 days ago. But I don't want to go back to the doctor. I'm not going to go to the doctor. I'm not going to treat. What do you think? You're the injury attorney. What do you think? They're saying, I'm not going to go to the doctor. I think I'll just suck it up. I'm just going to go through this and get through it. Maybe if I need somebody, I might go in a month or two or three. But I'm just going to wait and see. All right, Bell and Pollock, Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, we're here for you. Our website, championsofthepeople.com. We designed it to help you to be user-friendly with a lot of information. And we did that, and we have our 10 books, injury books, on the website. They're on different injury subjects, and you can download them for free at championsofthepeople.com. We'll be right back. Here we go. Fasten your seatbelt. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, the Bell and Pollock Legal Show, the only show of its kind. You can call us at 303-713-8255. The first part of the show we were covering, you call into an attorney. You shouldn't expect every finite answer. When you call the attorney, you shouldn't expect a complete valuation of your case. What you should expect is somebody that will actually listen to you, give you the dignity of their time and their expertise. You're calling them. You're calling their law firm. Think about that. You're not just a number. You're a person with an issue, a problem, and probably many, many questions. And that's what attorneys do or should do, right?
Right. You can't be trapped into believing that the attorney's just going to have all these answers in the first meeting. That's not the way it works. Period.
No, but what you should expect is somebody that cares enough to point you in the right direction, understand your problem, meet with you have a meeting, or if not, just cover it on the phone or Zoom, etc. But get it covered. And right before the break, I gave you a hypothetical, rhetorical question. Now we're going to switch from rhetorical to actual question. The client is in an intersection accident. That's what we covered right before the break, intersection accident. And some pretty bad injuries, went to the emergency room 3 or 4 days ago, now sitting in your office, and says, I really don't want to go to the doctor. I don't like doctors. I don't like medical treatment. I don't like needles. I don't like any of this stuff. And I'm not going to go. And what's going to happen? Do you see? This is just one small, finite example of how an attorney can give you a legal game plan, and years of experience can come to your benefit. Because you probably, when you're making those statements, that person probably doesn't know or realize that that's one of the biggest factors the insurance company is going to take into consideration. Meaning, did you treat medically? Did you go to medical treatments? Did you go to medical appointments? What did they say? What did the notes say? What tests did they give you? And the person says, well, I don't want to do that. So a good game plan would be, okay, you don't want to do that. But here's going to be the consequences. It's your choice. Nobody can force you to go to the doctor, period. But here's going to be the consequences. When you file a claim maybe in 2 months or 6 months, and you figure out it's permanent, or many things are permanent, you have a shoulder injury, you got to have shoulder surgery, you have a hip, you have to have hip surgery, it's going to change your lifestyle. And if you waited months, then the insurance company is likely to pay you very little or nothing. And you say, well, that's not fair. It was my choice. Yeah, but you don't fit into their pattern of algorithms. You don't fit into their pattern of evaluation of cases. When you don't go to the doctor, they say you didn't treat. You must not be injured. Now you're making it all up. Now it's too late. And you say, that's just not fair because I wanted to make this choice. So I'm giving you an example, and Brad and I are giving you an example of how good attorneys can point you through a significant, meaningful game plan just that way, by pointing out to you, this is how insurance companies value this. It's your choice. And by the way, we're not making anything up. We're not making up going to the doctor. You really need to go to the doctor. You really need medical treatment. You might need some medical exams and medical tests and medical procedures, but you're not going, and they're going to use it against you. That's just a small example of how a game plan can completely change your injury claim. Completely change it. And so we wanted to cover this in the beginning because we've been getting some questions in our law firm, and we're a little bit off of our topic today, but we wanted to cover this because you must have a game plan. You must have a strategy, and you must know what it is, and you must know what the steps are for you to take. And when you leave our firm, you leave our Zoom meeting, you leave our phone conference, you will know what the steps are. Okay, or you'll have the opportunity to come in and talk further and consult further to find out what the steps are.
Right, and understand, it's not anything to have you do something improper. It's to have you address what's happened in a crash and have you understand how it works back and forth and what goes on. We're not gonna mislead you by saying, this is what your case is worth. We will talk to you about values. We'll talk to you about the fact that, hey, if the other side has insurance and if you're injured and you need medical care, there's a way to get the medical care and have it reimbursed by the responsible party. That's important for you to know. What's the nature and extent of your injury? I'm not a doctor. I'm an attorney. I can talk to you about doctors who are familiar with traumatic injuries, are familiar with how traumatic injuries play out when you're doing things and when you're not doing things. I'm going to talk to you about your missing time from work and what that means, how we're going to determine if you should get compensated for that or if you get compensated anyway or what the value of that is. But all that just goes to put together what the process is to be able to get you better as fast as possible, get you back into the normal functions of life, and get you recovered for the injuries you've sustained.
Right. So it's like taking our years of experience and putting them to the benefit for you, right? I mean, we know how insurance companies value claims, so we fill in the blanks for you. Here's what you need to do, okay? And if you go to the doctor and the doctor says you don't need any treatment, well, that's the answer. You've done it. But if they say you need treatment, then you need the treatment. And if you need treatment, then the insurance company says, did you get the treatment? So that's just one small point. We're trying to prove to you how you need a legal game plan.
And how do you pay for that treatment? How are you going to pay for it now? How are you going to pay for it in the future? How are you going to make the financial arrangements to get off work and to get off and get time and be able to pay for a doctor? Doctors aren't cheap.
No, they're not cheap. And I got to tell you something else. Many people, almost every person I ever talk to, new client, somewhere in the conference, because sometimes we have long conferences, somewhere in the conference they ask me, hey, what's my case worth? What is this worth? And I tell them, here's what I tell them. You're going to probably fall off your chair here. I don't know what it's worth right now. I do know that you should do the following. I do know that you shouldn't give the claim up. I do know you have the type of reported symptoms and injuries that lead to potential complications and further medical treatment, and I do know that's what insurance companies pay for. So here's what we're going to do. Here's what I recommend for you. Here's what I recommend for you and you and you. Okay? And they say, you're an injury attorney. You don't know what my case is worth? No, I don't. I can tell you some cases are more serious than others. I mean, that's a no-brainer, right? If you're in ICU for 6 days, that's different than you sprained your neck and you went to the doctor. And it depends later on what the doctor says about your neck. And it depends if they discover it. And I'm not going to give any specifics right now, but there's a case that I know about where a neck injury was kind of in the beginning. I don't know if I can say brushed off, but maybe not analyzed 100% correctly of a lady. And then the symptoms didn't go away. And finally, some doctor said, a knowledgeable doctor, new set of eyes on the scene, right? New set of ears listening, new set of eyes, new set of educated eyes. Said, I think there's a more serious problem here than just a sore neck and unrelenting headaches. Although those are bad, there's a more serious problem here. And he said, I think we have an atlantoaxial injury. Well, I've done atlantoaxial injury cases before, and they're very, very serious. And they don't just automatically go away. And it basically means that the head is not and cannot sit on your neck in a good symmetry, anatomical fashion where you feel comfortable and you don't have symptoms. But it wasn't diagnosed for a long time. But only going to the doctor, only following up, revealed this finally.
So, you know, and getting to that part about what your case is worth, I want you, if you're driving right now or when you get in the car next time you're driving, I want you to look at the person and say, now, if that person hits me, how much insurance do they have? And how much assets do they have? And when will my insurance kick in? And think, when do you learn how much insurance the responsible party has to pay for the injuries they have caused you? Well, you don't learn that on the first meeting. I mean, the first meeting with the lawyer, you and the lawyer are talking about who that person is and whether they got cited and what they did. But all that information has to be acquired. So this idea of thinking you're going to rush in and get this information, sometimes that's a little that's not really realistic when you're hearing attorneys trying to tell you that. You're going to get case reviews. You're going to get understandings what cases are worth in that are similar in nature if the money is there and if the facts bear out everything you're talking about and if your treatment continues down the road that would be normal. Was it going to lead to injections? Is it not going to lead to injections? Is it going to lead to multiple injections or just one round of injections? Is it going to lead to you're losing work? And if so, are you going to lose money? And if so, how much do you make? Because if I don't know how much you make, I can't tell you what missing 6 months of work is worth. We got to know how much you make and we have to calculate it.
Right, and it may be worth it to this lady that I was talking about with this neck injury, this special kind of neck injury, because if somebody listens to her, and I'm talking about my law firm, Brad's law firm, if somebody listens to her over the months, and she's believable and she's genuine, and you listen to her and you watch, and then you see what the medical records say, it says this, but it doesn't come up with a definitive issue. Any personal injury that cares, a lawyer that cares, and some of them may not, to spend the time to say, doctor, there's something wrong with her. She's believable. Meet with her. Do whatever tests you need to do. She consents. Okay, we got to get to the bottom of this. And when you get to the bottom of it, it helps the injured victim. It's just that simple. All right, you're listening to Gary Bell, Brad Pollack. The Bell and Pollack Legal Show, the only show of its kind. We're here every Saturday to help you. All right, for the last half of the show, we're going to dedicate to fireworks. 4th of July is coming up, and we got some great law for you. We got some great tips, and we got some fun facts as well. So we're going to be talking about fireworks. And what do the police say when everybody with a Colorado license plate shows up in Wyoming, either the 4th of July or 3rd of July or 2nd of July, and buys and loads their car up with all kinds of fireworks that can explode, can leave the ground, can fly in the air? What do these police officers say or do? And what about the laws about that? And what about your jurisdiction? And what about your safe 4th of July? Bell and Pollack will be right back. Here we go, Gary Bell, Brad Pollack. Off we go in the wild blue yonder. 4th of July coming up, rock and roll. First, we're going to talk about great food. First, we're going to talk about a great restaurant. First, we're going to talk about Caitlin's restaurant with a deck, 4th of July. Wow. Great food, outside deck, dog friendly, great atmosphere. And if you're inside, it's a wonderful atmosphere. So, Brad, let's talk about the food they have. And I know your favorite bowl is something, the Southern or something like that. I don't know.
Right. I like the Southern, but today, you know, it's so nice out. I think I'm going to pick up some of their pancake batter, and I'm going to go home and cook the pancake batter. Now, you can't match this pancake batter, folks. I mean, when you go get it, get yourself some pancakes when you go there. Now, they have all the frilly stuff where they'll put the strawberries on it or berries on it and chocolate chips and bananas Foster. And they have the where you get the whipped cream and you get all the nice frilly stuff on your pancakes and great syrups and just wonderful stuff. And they have this great thick bacon that is just fantastic to eat. But you can also get to go. You can get some pancake batter to go. And like I said, you're not going to be able to make this. I don't know what they got in it, but you can't mimic it. And, you know, you go home and you go out on your patio and you cook some pancakes up and you have a nice pancakes out on the patio and you enjoy it. And you've got it from Caitlin's. You're not going through the pancake mixes and the powder flying everywhere and the milk and how much milk do I put in. And it's just fantastic. And by the way, it can work great as a waffle, too, because I've used them for waffles. But if you don't want to do it on your own patio, do it on Caitlin's patio. Because Caitlin's has a fantastic patio. This is the time of day that you're really going to love it. It's shaded. It's got trees around it. You sit out there. You enjoy it. They'll bring you all your food. They'll serve you right out there. You just go in. You say, I'd like to be on the patio. Now, if you don't like outside for some reason, they got a great inside. And you can go inside and you can sit at their tables and they'll take care of you. And they'll make sure you get the great service that they're good for. And that they're known for. You can get yourself some great omelets. The Southern is some hash browns with egg, and I usually skip the egg, and it's got this gravy on it and green chili on it and bacon in it and sausage in it. And I can't identify everything that's in it because, I try and mimic it at home, and I just can't do it.
Well, I'll tell you what, I have never. I'm going to, though. I have never had a Bananas Foster pancake. I mean, just think about that a second. Never had a Bananas Foster pancake. But I'm going to because the pancake batter, the base batter, is really good. So, Brad, where are they located?
Okay, they're located 4379 East Mississippi Avenue. That's 4379 East Mississippi Avenue, basically Mississippi and Colorado Boulevard. If you get to Colorado Boulevard, Mississippi, you're going to go one block. That's one block east of Colorado Boulevard on Mississippi. Watch off to your left-hand side. You're going to see a little shopping center, the Glendale Shopping Center. And when you get there, you're going to pull in. You're going to see Caitlin's. It takes up a couple spots. It's back there in the corner. You're going to see it right there. And plenty of parking. You're not going to have to fight with street parking or with parallel parking or trying to figure out a way to get in and out of your spot. You got plenty of parking. It's a nice, huge parking lot, and you're going to be able to walk in nice and relaxed and take it easy and sit down. They have a full liquor license, so you can have your mimosa. As a matter of fact, I'm looking at a Google review here that says it's an excellent locally owned breakfast spot. The food was top shelf. The mimosa was full pint. The service was quick and attentive. This person got a veggie omelet and the husband got a chicken fried chicken plate that everybody loved. So, you know, go down there. If you need to call them, 303-798-6600. They'll do to-go orders for you. They'll do waiting for you. They'll get you DoorDash to deliver your food for you. So there's just no reason for you not to enjoy a nice Caitlin's breakfast this weekend or a nice Caitlin's lunch this weekend.
All right, go for it. Okay, so now we want you to have a safe 4th of July, safe 4th of July and surrounding time periods. So we're going to cover a little bit of law and fireworks and then give you kind of a puzzle that you're going to solve here in a second. But the safe 4th of July, the law in Colorado is it's pretty simple law in Colorado. You can't have own use a firework that leaves the ground or explodes. I mean, pretty much that's it. But people do all the time. I mean, and it's kind of laughable if you ever parked at the Wyoming border watching the Colorado plates come across the state. Well, they're buying fireworks, okay, and they're bringing them back. But And there's laws. You can't give them to people under 16, and you can't have them if they explode, and you can't have them if they go up in the air. And so, but everybody wants that. Everybody wants to do it. And so here's kind of a puzzle to put together. If you're in a car accident, let's say you're drunk driving, or speeding, or both, and so you violate the statute on speeding, you violate the statute on drunk driving, do you think that some attorney is going to use that those violations of those statutes and ordinances against you in the prosecution of the case?
I would.
Absolutely.
I would.
Of course. So now, let's just take that example and morph right over to fireworks. There's a statute. So if you violate the statute, it's like violating a speeding statute, a drunk driving statute. If you violate the statute and you injure somebody, there's an explosion or a mistake or a disaster or the unthinkable happens, which we don't wish on anyone. The unthinkable happens. Or if a member of your own family gets hurt or explodes in your face. Come on. And so there's a lawsuit, or somebody else was standing by, and there's a lawsuit. So they're going to use the violation of the statute, just like the drunk driving statute, Brad, just like the speeding statute. They're going to use it as a violation of what's called negligence per se, meaning you violated a rule, you violated an ordinance, you violated a statute, and in so doing, you injured somebody. So that's the framework we want you to think about this, because you got to be careful using these fireworks. And so the general law is, well, you mean, guys, are you saying I can be responsible for damage to property? Of course you can. I can be responsible for personal injury? Of course you can. Well, wait a minute, Gary, Brad, if I'm doing this at my house, is my exposure covered by my homeowner's insurance, and will they pay for an attorney, and will they pay for the judgment, and will they pay for the settlement? And the answer is maybe. Maybe it depends on what your policy language says, right? I mean, these are things to think about before you go willy-nilly violating rules and statutes in Colorado, because, Brad, the rule is easy. If it explodes or if it goes up in the air, you can't do it.
Well, and, you know, let's make sure we understand that this is a matter of even possession of. They don't do it, and, but actually you could have, there's a trail of people that go up and get fireworks in Wyoming. They don't do it, but you could actually have Colorado State Patrol, or you could have Colorado police sitting at the Wyoming border, and as cars come back, they could stop every single one of those people, pull them over, do citations to them, and confiscate the fireworks, because they're not even supposed to have possession of them in this state, period. Now, they don't do it, and, it'd be quite a project, and it would cause quite a stir, because there are a lot of people who get those fireworks, some of which maybe aren't going to even be shooting them off in Colorado. They're getting them because they're going someplace else, and they've been to Wyoming, and they're at Wyoming where they can get some good fireworks, and then they're going to shoot them off somewhere else. But you bring in the fireworks. First of all, it's illegal to even have them. That's going to be a citation, and that's going to be the court. And yes, I think you can end up getting up to 6 months in jail, if I remember right. And you get fines, and the fines can be pretty big. They can hit up to the $1,000, I believe. And, I can't tell you the exact amount, but I can tell you they're illegal. But then you come to the point of shooting them off. And we talk about shooting them off. And we do know that you can do some fireworks. And we've run over our time for the break, so I'm gonna talk about it here when we come back.
All right, we got a break coming up, but listen, you understand there can be some penalties, there can be some jail time, there can be some fines, there can be some civil liability as it's covered by insurance. I mean, you don't want to be guessing about this later. You don't want to be worried about it trying to figure it out later. You can figure it out right now, right? So right after the break, we're going to cover a couple more points on fireworks. But we know what's legal and illegal in Colorado. It's pretty simple. Okay? We're going to give you some safety tips. And I think, and you're going to say, these boring safety tips. I'm not so sure. You better get ready, because some of these safety tips I wonder if you ever did this before, unthinking about it, not really thinking it through, right? We want you to be safe. We want your family to be safe on the 4th of July. So, we'll be right back. Okay, Gary Bell, Brad Pollack, the law firm of Bell and Pollack. We're here for you. We're here for your safety. We're here for your edification, your education. At Bell and Pollack, we advocate and educate. We've been doing it for years. We designed our website, our entire law practice that way, to give you information, detailed information. We've done it for years. We've done it through radio shows, putting them on our website, all kinds of podcasts, all kinds. We have the Injury Legal Hub, and you can find that podcast on injury subjects anywhere you get your podcasts. You can also go to steamboatradio.com. That's a pretty cool website. That's a really popular, high-traffic website. They got a lot of good stuff on there, steamboatradio.com, and we're right there. You can listen to all these. We've got our books. We've got our radio shows. We've got this show right here for you. We have dedicated the entire part of our law practice to informing you and educating you. So now we're talking about firework safety. All right. A couple of basic rules, right? Which in the past, when I play a board game or something, used to, you got to read the rules. You got to know what the rules are. So when you have fireworks, why don't you just read the directions? You read the directions. Don't just start. And then use fireworks only outdoors, and never, ever, ever use a gas or an accelerant to ignite a firework. You got to be kidding me, right? I mean, it's bad enough if somebody does that with their fireplace with real wood inside their house, but you never use an accelerant. And then, Brad, what do you think about, you got fireworks, you're putting them out there, and then, it won't light. It's a dud.
Well, there's a case in Colorado about a kid who ended out losing was his sight or in one eye, where he was trying to get a firework that wouldn't light, and he's drilled holes in it, and he put punks in it, and he was doing all sorts of stuff trying to get it to light. I'll tell you what you do with the firework that doesn't light. You throw it away.
Throw it away.
What they just say is soak it in water for about 20 minutes and then throw it away. I'll tell you what else. When you shoot off fireworks, usually you're doing it with people with you. You have to establish a perimeter. You have to establish a base place where the fireworks are going to be shot off, and people are not going to come within that perimeter. Even the ones in legal in Colorado, the sparklers and things that go up, where people will not get hurt, where they're not trying to run away from a Twizzler that goes all around and it might hit people, and so they run away and they trip over each other or they push each other and they get hurt doing that. You need to have an organized process by which you're going to be shooting off the fireworks. You don't want to have two or three people all shooting off fireworks at one time. It's not going to work.
No, it leads to chaos. The other thing is, here's a basic rule. Here's a no-brainer. How many of you do this? Have a hose, water hose, or a bucket of water, or both, or all kinds of sources of water right there with you. Not, oh my God, we got a fire. Where's the hose? Somebody run around. Have it ready to go. Right? So that's a big safety tip. And Brad just said, never attempt to relight a dud. Don't mess with it. Don't drill holes in it. All that. And a great tip, Brad, a great tip that you said, don't have, three, four, five people. You got to be kidding me.
Right. Well, it happens, though. They get these punks, and they've got the punks, and everybody's running out there, starting the fire, lighting them. And one thing, you take age at least 10 and up. One thing young people like to do is shoot off fireworks. And if, like, even with the legal ones, and I keep saying legal ones because you got the ones that are going up in the air and the mortars and everybody's got them, the sparklers. But even the legal ones, that they wanted to grab that punk and run out there in the middle of the street and start the firework. Well, you know, you've got to make sure the person knows what they're doing. You've got to make sure their safety. And then they don't know for sure if they've got the firework going. They don't know if it's going to make it all the way to where the sparkler is going to come out, and another person's waiting to run theirs out. And you've got people sitting in chairs all around. And of course, you just wait for the firework to go, shoot one way or the other, and then the person falls off the chair and gets hurt running away from the firework, you know. And it sounds like a comedy of errors. I got Gary laughing over here, but the bottom line is people get hurt. And you know, if you've invited people over to come watch a firework display, even of safe fireworks,
like a sparkler.
The sparkler, you got to understand, you're talking classifications and inviting and licensing and how that person is over there and what duty of care you owe to them, because your duty of care doesn't stop. And yes, they may agree to come watch fireworks, but they didn't agree to have fireworks shot in their direction or to have fireworks in a way that's going to be harmful to them. And so you've got to make sure you've got a safe environment and a safe way established, and you follow safety rules on how to shoot fireworks.
When you invite people over, they fall into that classification, as Brad just said, under the Premises Liability Act. You owe duties to them, obligations to them, and you can stand on your head and say, no, I don't, and you do.
It doesn't get suspended just because it was fireworks.
Yeah, no.
And you've got the duty to make it safe if you're going to do the activity, just like if you were going to do an activity of volleyball in your backyard and you have holes in the yard so that people can break their ankles. You've got to make sure you have a safe environment. Just like on Halloween when you have people coming to get candy, and we talk to you all the time about making sure it's safe where you walk up to the door. You know, you've got to make sure you've got safety.
Well, another thing, I mean, everybody likes sparklers, and they are legal. And kids have sparklers, but they got to be supervised. I mean, this is fire we're talking about, and it can burn your skin. Some kids are experimental. Here, they just put on somebody else's skin. Here, how do you like that? Okay? You got to supervise them. And the other thing is, it's very dangerous to eyes.
And understand, some sparklers are not legal and some are. You got to know which ones.
Exactly.
You got, like, the glow sticks are legal, but I don't think the ones that emit fire anymore are legal.
No.
I think they've gotten away with those.
Okay, so we want you to have a safe 4th of July. We wish you do. Follow the basic rules. Follow common sense. Listen to what we have to say. Check on your policy. When you invite people over, it's not just a casual invite over. It has liability attached to it. Think about that. Right? All right, go to our website, championsofthepeople.com, or go to any of our shows or our podcasts or Car Accidents 101, which is on the homepage of championsofthepeople.com. We have 10 books on 10 different injury subjects. They're free. You can download an e-copy free anytime you want. And if you want a hard copy of any of our injury books, just call us and we'll give you a hard copy. It's just that simple. And we do all of this because we are your champions of the people. We'll see you next week.